I must say that 45 years was just like yesterday. The only thing I could say that if she has been more obedient, it would have been 50 years. Praise the Lord that we can come to His Word today. We are looking at Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. Our theme is for this year is walking by faith. And this theme was inspired from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Why this theme? Because faith pleases God. And faith brings reward to your life. As stated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, what he said? He said that it is impossible to please God apart from faith. You want to please God? Have faith. It is impossible to please God apart from faith. Anyone who approach Him, anyone, He didn't put the condition that you have to be good, you have to be perfect, you have to be this and that. He said, anyone, as you are, just as you are, if you approach God, you must believe both that first, God exists. He is real, He is alive, He cares about you, He loves you, that God exists, that He is involved in human life, He is involved in your life, and that He cares enough. Not only He exists, He's not distant, He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Now, today as we look into Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, I find that the key word to connect us by walking by faith in these two chapters is this word called today. Today. And this is also the title of my message. This keyword today appears 5 times in these two chapters. It appears as a warning to remind us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, verse 15, and chapter 4, verse 7. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Then again, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitful of sin. And finally to David. And I think to David is like many of us who want God to say to us. Finally to David in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Today, after such a long time. I think some of us have been waiting, God, when is it? When is the today? And to David was today after such a long time. Walking by faith is about today. Today faith, today respond. It's not about yesterday faith, tomorrow faith, or someday faith. It's about today, the day to walk by faith. There is no other day. I'm telling you, you cannot get yesterday back. Tomorrow is no guarantee. But today is before you to walk by faith. My question to you, if it's not today, then when? I want you today to walk by faith. But the call of today always demand an immediate response. The call of today has no place, no room for excuse, no space for procrastination, no time for delay. Today, if you hear my voice, God say, today if you hear my voice, today if you hear my voice. Most translations use the word if you hear my voice. But I like the New Living Translation. Instead of using the word if, he used the word today when you hear my voice. Last Sunday when Pastor Aaron preached on chapter 1 and chapter 2, he said that God is always speaking. In time past through the prophet and now through His Son and through His Word. So I want to tell you today, Today, when you hear his voice from Scripture, the written word, the Logos, when you hear his voice from this pulpit preaching to you, when you hear his voice from your devotion and your meditation, when you hear his voice today, how would you respond? How would you respond? Would you hear his voice and mix it with faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, faith comes from what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. But this hearing must enter into your heart, and by hearing, you must mix it with faith. Mix it with faith, just like how you hear about Jesus, you believe in your heart, you mix it with faith, and you confess your mouth, and you became saved. So today, when you hear his voice, will you mix it with faith and let faith arise in you to walk in faith, not by sight, and live your life consistent with your confident belief in God's promises? We are living on earth. We need God's promises. Would you put your confidence today and walk believing in God's promises? Today, when you hear his voice, will you mix it with faith and let faith arise so that you push beyond your old way of thinking and seeing to embrace the new and declare, I am a new creation walking by faith. Today, when you hear his voice, will you mix it with faith and let faith arise so that faith is able to empower you to forget what happened yesterday and not to worry about tomorrow? Embracing today is another day. Another day for your miracle, for your breakthrough, for your visitation. Today, when you hear his voice, will you mix it with faith and let faith arise so that you face your problem, your need, your mountain, the devil, and even yourself, and proclaim in faith, the invisible will become visible. The impossible will become possible, and mountains will be removed, because Jesus Christ, the author of your faith, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How will you respond? God wants us to have the correct response when we hear, mix it with faith. Or will you respond differently? What is the different response? The different response is, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let this heart be hardened, because this heart is where the issue of life flows. Don't let your thoughts be hardened, because you are what you think. Don't let your feeling be hardened. Stop your yo-yo emotion. Don't let your mind be hardened. No more double-minded. The others have done it that way. They hear and they harden their heart and they disobey God. Instead, when you choose to hear for one purpose, hear to obey, hear to do, and hear to practice. So today, when I look at these two chapters, chapter 3 and chapter 4, God, how do we pack this so that we can use it in walking by faith and not by sight? So I want to adopt three actions, starting with the word E, that you must take your position. The first position that you must take, you must adopt, is the position of your sonship. Embrace sonship. From chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 11, it talks about sonship. One vital aspect of walking by faith is faithfulness, which is the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Here we have two examples of faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the house, and faithfulness to complete the task given to you. Jesus is an example of faithfulness. He is faithful as a son. Moses is not an example of faithfulness, but he is faithful as a what? As a servant. The Bible clearly states that sonship holds greater significance than servanthood in God's eyes. Are you a son or are you a servant? The first position to adopt in responding to God's voice is to embrace your sonship. In John chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 13, the Father invites us to become his sons and daughter. But as many as believe in him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Born, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God. So when God calls us, he calls us to what? Sonship. Say amen. Amen. Call us to sonship. Our adoption in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and verse 17 is one of what? Sonship. So, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slave. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him what? Master? Now we call him Abba Father. And since we are his wife, no, so his wife, since we are his children, we are his heirs. Don't distract me, sister. Sonship is defined by birthright, while the servant is defined by action. No matter how much the servant accomplished, his best efforts, his greatest contribution, his deepest devotion, his status remain of a servant and not of a son. The servant inherits nothing as he is not the heir. His work is driven by what? Duty and obligation. Different from the son. The son is heir by birth. And this is his identity and his position within the family. We are the family of God. God wants you to see yourself as sons and daughters. Yes, you are serving God, but you are still sons and daughter. And because he is a son, he inherits everything that belongs to the father, even before he's capable of walking or working, he inherits. That's why God wants us to see ourselves in him. Now the son works out of his love for the father because he wants to please him. And that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. I must be about my father's business, my father's house, my father's work. How about the servant? The servant attend to the master business. Everything the servant do, this is for the master. This is the master house. This is the master work. This is the master wages. This is the master. He works for the master. He attends the master. The son engaged in the father business. That's what Jesus said. So God wants us. God desires us to walk by faith regarding our sonship. And our sonship is rooted in our identity as his children. We are children of God. Say amen. Sons and daughters of God. This is the privilege. This is the authority. This is the right that he gave to us because we believe in him. Not because of our contribution, our service, or our performance. We are basically sons because we believe him and we confess that he is our father. Rather than in our performance and contribution. We all know the story, the parable that Jesus brought regarding the prodigal son. The young son lavished his privilege but neglect his responsibility. When he hit rock bottom, and sometimes people need to hit rock bottom to wake up. When he hit rock bottom, he was ready to return back to his father, not as a son, but as a servant, even a daily paid servant. But the father dismissed it and declared this, "For this is my son." That's how the father said. That's how the father said him. Even though he blew it, the father said, "As far as I'm concerned, this is my son." His position in the family never changed. Though he changed his position as a son. Then, of course, you know, we have the elder brother. The elder brother has a different challenge. While he was a son, his work is driven by servant mentality, and he focused on performance and contribution, then joyfully serving the father he loved. I like what Jesus said. He said that in John chapter 14, verse 31, that the world may know that I love the Father, and according as the Father give me command, so I do. What did Jesus say? Jesus said that if you see me obeying the Father, if you see me doing the Father business, the Father work, if you see me serving the Father, it's not because I'm a servant, it's because I am a son. And I'm doing it because I love the Father. The motivation is I love the Father. But some of us can become like the younger son. We blew it. We stumble in our life. Then we try to win God. Have you ever tried to win God? Try to win God. Try to win some points with God, with our service and performance. But God is calling you. No matter how stupid things you have done, the failures of your life, God is calling you. Stop your servant mentality. You cannot win me as a servant. You are my son. And you are always my son. Even if you did the wrong thing, you are still my son. Just repent and come back to me as my son and not my servant. Because God wants us to embrace our sonship. His ever-loving and forgiving Father. You can be a servant without being a son. Am I right to say that? You can be a servant without being a son. But you cannot be a son without being a servant. So our servanthood flows out of our sonship, nothing else. It must flow out of our sonship. So like Jesus, we can say it, that the world may see the reason why I serve, the reason why I do, is because I love the Father. What a motivation. Today, reflect on your relationship with God. Are you approaching Him as a child or as a servant? Do you need to embrace your identity as a child of God through grace and faith, rather through work or performance? I have a prayer for you to pray. And I want you to pray aloud. Because the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. In the same way, if you hear, when you hear my voice and believe in your heart my word and confess with your mouth, God is able to do His work in your life. So pray with me this morning. Let's lift our hands before Him. Don't need to close your eyes. You close your eyes, you won't be able to read what is there. Pray with me. Say, Father, in response to your word, I choose to align myself with you as a child, not as a servant. As your child, I receive all that you have promised to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I ask that you seal the prayer of your children. As they pray in faith, they hear and they mix it in faith, and they bring their prayer as a confession to you. I pray you seal those prayers and you answer those prayers, and you strengthen, Lord, the sense of sonship in each one of us, that we may be able in the morning, in the night, throughout the day, to know that we are the children of the living God, that you are interested in our life, that you watch over our life, that you are the great protector and provider of our life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I look in chapter 3 and chapter 4, walking by faith and not by sight. The first position we have to be in is embrace your sonship. The second position, the second response to God's voice is to eliminate your unbelief. Surprising, the book of Hebrews was written for believers in the second generation. And this second generation was facing a faith crisis. So this book was written as a warning of the danger of unbelief and encouraging them in their faith. St. Augustine once said, faith is to believe what we do not see. The world lives on seeing is believing. The Christian is believing is what? Seeing. Opposite. That's what Jesus told Mary and Martha. If you believe, you will see the salvation, the glory of God. So the world concept is different. So this is what St. Augustine said. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Therefore, if this is true, and we know it is true, because faith pleases God, he that comes to him must believe that he will reward, he will answer. Then, faith involves believing before we see, obeying before we understand all the details. This is a challenge for us. We want God to give us everything. Obeying before understanding all the details, giving before receiving a return, enduring before experiencing a breakthrough, thanking before receiving, and trusting even in disappointment. That is walking in faith. I'm disappointed. I'm down. I'm hurt. I feel kicked. But God, in faith, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go continue, because it is what does faith does. Faith means I have faith not in myself. I have faith in God and his promises. That's all it's about. The whole book of Hebrews is about God and his promises that you need to have faith in. So what is the opposite of faith? The opposite of faith is not faithlessness. The opposite of faith is unbelief. So if you want to walk by faith, you need to eliminate unbelief. And unbelief is the first sin in the garden that we all inherited. So when you look at Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 12 to verse 19, it talks about the sin of unbelief. It was written to the entire generation that came out of Egypt under Moses, but they did not enter the promised land. You know, in their journey with Moses, they commit fornication and idolatry, and they rebel. But it was not all this that God stopped them from entering the promised land. What stopped them from entering the promised land? It was unbelief. Unbelief that stopped them, that kept them in the wilderness, that kept them from inheriting their inheritance and led them in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the unbelief of the Israelites is not because they did not see the land. The spy went out there. They carried the fruits of the land. They saw it. They saw the fruits of the land. They saw the abundance. So where did the unbelief come from? The unbelief came from the inner voice. The inner voice within. The inner voice within that said, they are giants, we are grasshopper. Number chapter 13, verse 33. We saw the giant there. We were grasshopper in their sight, and so we were in our own sight. So the unbelief stand out from within. They say, we saw the giant, we saw them, they are giant, but the giant did not see them. They saw, they confess they are giant, and they say, what? We are what? We are grasshopper. And because of their own confession, it's because of what they say, they were what they are in their own sight, in their own confession. You see, unbelief distorts self-perception. And because you, when your perception of who you are in God is distorted, then you become useless, worthless, powerless, and hopeless. And what does that do to you? It brings fear. And fear always brings unbelief. And when you have unbelief, you are saying that God is not caring and God is not loving. This is what Israel, they lamented. Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we had died in the wilderness. So their cry from within, because of their unbelief, revealed the unbelief that is in their heart that stopped them to possess the land. You want to walk by faith, you need to eliminate unbelief. Have you ever wondered why your journey of faith is a step-by-step journey? Because if God were to reveal the entire journey to you, the beginning, the middle, and the end, you might be too afraid. And what will they do to you? Unbelief will enter your heart and your mind. Unbelief prevents the Israelites from entering the promised land. Let me ask you, why do Christians experience worry, anxiety, stress, depression, and sleeplessness? The answer is unbelief. Unbelief and the inability to trust in God's promises. What is walking by faith that is there? It's stated there. Having that confident belief in who? In God's promises. And when you have that, this unbelief, the inability to trust in God's promises, it many say, God, you don't care, you are not able, you do not know, you are not in control. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Born out again, unbelief. Take care, brethren, lest there be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Just as faith connects us to God and all He represents, His promises, unbelief disconnects us from God and everything that comes from Him, including His promises. Unbelief comes from two Greek words. Two Greek words that make this word unbelief. These two Greek words is the word called disobedience and the word called distrust. So when there is unbelief, you will always disobey God. All sin, all root of sin flows out of unbelief. I don't believe what God say. Same with Eve. The first trace of unbelief in the garden, she questioned God and His word. Her doubt was informed by an external voice that asked, "Did God really say that? Does He know what is best for you? Is He withholding something from you?" Eve listened to that voice, the external voice. And what happened? She doubted God and she disobeyed God. I want you to know, in this world, every day, you are bombarded by external voices. External voices that suggest that others are more blessed than you. How many of you have never heard that voice? Put up your hand. We all hear that. Others are doing better than you. And I tell you, those voices and those thoughts and opinion can lead us to question God's character. Does God care? Does He know? Do He know where am I? Have you ever felt that way? And that is when unbelief say, "God, you are a liar." But faith affirms that God is true, because Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 tells us, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and not act? Does He promise and not fulfill?" No, God is true. Even though I don't see it happening right now, I know God is true. I know He will be here for me. I know He will see me through. I want you to know, your destiny, breakthrough, and blessing can be hindered by your unbelief. So it is important for us to use this mouth to speak faith, amen? Then unbelief. Why do you think when the Israel marched around the wall of Jericho, God asked them not to speak? Because if they were to speak to one another, I'm telling you, unbelief would have come in. Miracles would not have happened. Sometime, better not to what? Not to say, just seal your mouth and say, "God, help. Help me, God. Help me." You know, sometimes we just need to be like the father, the desperate father that came to Jesus with a son that is demon-possessed. And Jesus said to him, "Anything is possible if you have faith." And the father said, "I do believe. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I'm not perfect, God. A little seed of faith is able to grow." Say amen. So there is a little seed of doubt. So is a little seed of unbelief. He said, "God," he came to Jesus and said, I do believe, but I have some struggle." And we do all have struggle. And God does not condemn us when we have struggle, because we can struggle. But the question is, are we still holding on to His promises? Are we still holding on with God? Or are we struggling and just letting go? You see, "Jesus, I do have faith. Help me overcome my belief." I'm sure we all have been there. And I thank God that Jesus never condemned him. You know, the Amplified, the Life Application Bible, interpret this verse as this: "I do have faith. Oh, help me to have more." Amen? God is not, "I have unbelief. I do have faith. Give me more faith. Help me to have more faith to believe that all things are possible with God." Let me ask you, what does fish do? What does fish do? Fish swim. You don't find a fish dance. Fish swim. What does bird do? Birds fly. What does believer do? Believer believe. That's what we are called to do, to believe. I believe. Yes, my faith may not be perfect, but with my mouth, I choose to believe. God, give me more faith. help me to overcome my struggle. Let's come to the next prayer. Let's lift our hand and pray. Father, in response to your word, I align with you in faith. And by the power of your word, let every trace on unbelief be eliminated. I believe and receive everything you have promised your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to remove, to erase, to eliminate every sign of unbelief, every seed of unbelief. We want your spirit of faith to increase in each one of us, Lord. When we do not understand, help us to trust in your character and in your promise and in your goodness, of God. Because, Lord, in the end of the day, we know that you are true. The devil is a liar, and our feeling is not perfect, God. But you are true. I ask this in Jesus' name. So we see, to walk by faith so that we can receive God's promises, we need to embrace sonship. I'm a child of God. The basic foundation. The next area, we need to what? Eliminate unbelief. Any of us can fall into the trap of unbelief. Remember, unbelief comes as a seed. The seed can be a thought. You entertain the thought, that seed will find its root and you grow to a tree. And the tree is going to block your vision of what God has for your life. The third response to God's voice is to enjoy God's promised rest. The whole generation dying in the wilderness did not enter, did not enjoy the rest promised by God. Perish in the wilderness. It's very sad. Very sad that every day someone they knew died until the whole entire generation was gone. The warning to us is to watch out. Watch out against unbelief. Any sign of it, even if it's a tiny, twisty weed, get rid of it. Don't let it grow. If you have in your garden and you see a little crack and then you see a little small thing appearing, you know it's not going to be a fruit tree. What is it going to be? My answer to you, do you get rid of it or you let it grow a bit longer? Because I'm telling you, you let it grow, it get rooted in, it'll be harder to remove. So even a little to the sign of it, get rid of it because it has the power to grow and to hinder your promised rest in God. God, in this chapter 4, talk about the rest that Israel was to go in, but he also said that there is a greater rest to come. This greater rest is the promise of heaven, that is a place, a home in heaven. And to do that, for us to reach that place, we need to maintain our faith to the end. We need to go and go and go till we finish the race. Say amen. This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy verse 4 and verse 7 and verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. What was the good fight? The fight of faith. I finished the race. What was the race? The race of faith. And I remained faithful. I have kept the faith. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his return. There is a rest promised by God. Amen. But there is there. But God, I'm struggling here. Have you ever felt that way? But how about here? Here I need rest. Here I need rest. That's a good picture. The mouse should be inside there, not you. Does God promise rest for us today in this place where we work? Yes, He does. When I was a teenager, life was not easy. There were limited resources, limited entertainment, and limited freedom. But life was simple and happy. How many of you were there like me before? Put up your hand. And the only concern we have is actual fact, food and what? Shelter. Today, everything is a concern. Having is a concern. Not having is a concern. Having too little is a concern. Having too much is a concern. Life is filled with endless needless and endless concern. And sometimes because of this concern that we have, our inability to trust God who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. And He said that if I can take care of the birds and the lily, I can take care of you. I am your provider, I'm your protector, I'm your present. He said that. And then He said this, paraphrased by Stewart Tan, don't worry, be happy. But most of us, if we are not careful, we try to work harder, do this more, do that more. And so we become like the poor man on the wheel. Going round and round, goes nowhere, filled with struggle, frustration, and exhaustion. Then at the end of the day, you are worn out, and you wonder what have you accomplished. You are stressed out like a chicken without a head. You are a pressurized pot, you know, and then you do not know whether you are coming or going. Have you ever felt that way? I have good news for you. The good news that I have for you is this is what Jesus said, not when you go to heaven, but here, right now on earth. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, in the Message Bible, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Amen. He's talking to people that are there. He's not saying that, okay, let's go to heaven now. He said, here you are. We are of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. Amen? We don't live in worldly economy. We live in God's economy. We are in God's time, even though the world time just passed every day before us. And He said to us, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Wow. Grace got a rhythm. Da, 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 da. You know. Of all the dancing steps, the one I love to watch is the waltz. So gracious. And this is what He say. There is a rhythm of grace. We say, grace, glorious grace. There is a grace working in each one of us. But the grace only operates by faith. By faith. To believe in Him and His promises. There's a rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-feeling on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and light. Amen. For us who are seasonal travelers, the benefit of traveling light and free. But life has become so much that we are like this poor man. We have so many things in our mind, in our heart, in our hand. We are so caught up with so many things. And we cannot do the balancing act. But four times Jesus say, if you want rest, rest from labor, rest from what is happening in the world. If you want rest, four times he used with me. Get away with me. He called you. You want rest? Connection. Connect with me. Walk with me. He's talking about not only are you connected, now fellowship with me. Walk with me. Don't do it yourself. Partner with me. Keep company with me. What he said to you, companionship. Jesus is saying, if you want rest, if you want rest, come fly with me. Don't let the heavy load, don't let the heavy burden tie you down. Don't become so caught up with concern when the Master, the Father, I would say the Father, who say, I look after the sparrow. Are you not more worthy and more precious than the sparrow? Say to you, catch the wind of the rhythm, the unforced rhythm of grace. Soar up, soar higher, soar further in the air. Be free and easy. Be free and light. What is the key? The key to rest is with him. Say amen. He is your rest. Say amen. Another word I want to use for rest is this word. Maybe you have not heard much. Is relax. Chill out. We have made life too tense. How many of you realize that? And most of this tension comes from who? You. You allow tension within to service. You allow tension outside to come in. So whose fault is it? You. You are the gatekeeper of your soul. So another word for relax, for rest is relax, chill out. And so Jesus used the word with me. He never say, do it yourself. DIY. Do it yourself. You know, do it with your own strength. Follow your own path. He say, get connected to this unforced rhythm of grace. Yoke with me, just with me. And then you will experience the rest that is needed. Your mouth has the power in faith to say to yourself, be still, my soul. Have you ever said that to yourself? If the world out there, if your world is in turmoil, with your mouth, God has given you the authority to state, be still, my soul. There's the power that is in you. And you'll be surprised how this world that is bing, bang, bing, bang, bing, bang, bing, bang, all of a sudden just stop. Because by the word of your mouth, you had the authority to say, be still, my soul. Did not Psalm 46 tell us, though the mountains shake and the sea roar, there is a river that flows. And what he say? Be still, my soul. There is a river that is within each one of us called the river of the Holy Spirit. And he has the power to overcome the disturbing thoughts, the disturbing world that surrounds you, that you can say by the faith and by the authority that God has given to you. Because as the alarm of your house is activated by voice today, so with the same voice, you can activate the alarm of your soul. Be still, my soul. you, Lord. Let's pray. As we make this third prayer together. Next power point. Let's pray with me. Father, in response to your work, I align with you in faith. I believe in your promised rest. After doing all to receive everything you have promised your children, I choose to believe. I choose to rest. I choose to relax. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Never do it yourself. So, when we look at it, wow, God, it's quite a big thing. But let me narrow down. To walk by faith as sons, to embrace your sonship, immediately unbelief, enjoy the rest that God promised you, God has provided you two great empowerment. You don't need to do it yourself. The first empowerment is the empowerment of His Word, found in verse 12 and verse 13. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eye, and He's the one whom we are accountable. God has given us His Word. His Word is living, powerful, and active, and energizing. Is able. Speak the Word of God over your soul, over your life, because it is from the Word of God that faith comes up. The second empowerment is the empowerment of His throne of grace. He said, then since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Amen? I believe, hold on to that. Because the belief is tied to His promises, to what we believe. This high priest understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Grace, gracious grace. Now come to our gracious God who is on the throne. There you will receive His mercy, His strength, His empowerment, His grace, and you will find grace to help us when we need it most. This is how you walk by faith and not by sight. You can never do it by yourself. Can I have the musician to come? As we sing that song, the second last song, I believe. Oh, we really need to ask God, let my faith be quickened, be alive. What's the second song? Second last song?
With all I am?
Yes.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Yes. Jesus.